Five Encounters the Legends Came Across on Their Adventures. Written by Hannah Arganas and read by Litra. A crossover fanfic featuring the fandoms DC's Legends of Tomorrow, Black Panther, Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Lucifer, Star Wars, and Timeless. Rated Teen. Summary. Obviously, traveling through time and space, one is bound to meet some strange and quirky people. Some even like them. Here are some friends the people on the Wave Rider met on such adventures. 1. In which they land in Wakanda. Your Majesty, again, I apologize for crash landing in your country, but I am very grateful for their help. Sarah said, as she took a sip of the best damn wine she had ever had. Sarah had heard stories of Wakanda when she was part of the League of Assassins. She heard once someone went in there. No one had ever come out. So when Gideon said the ship landed there after a glitch, Sarah prepared for the worst. Surprisingly, the king, named T'Challa, was very nice. He welcomed them with open arms. He sent his genius little sister, Shuri, to help Zari and Rey fix the ship, showed them around the country, and was now throwing a banquet in their honor. Sarah wondered what made the king so kind to them. Maybe he wanted Wakanda to have a different image, or maybe he was just a nice guy.
It's my pleasure, Miss Lance. We are trying to be more open to the outside,
T'Challa said before pausing. He broke eye contact with Sarah and smiled.
Ah, Amaya, it's good to see you. I would like to learn more about these totems your people carry.
As the king of Wakanda walked to Amaya, linking arms with her, Sarah's jaw dropped. She couldn't help but stare as her teammate and T'Challa were talking and laughing. Suddenly it all made sense. Before taking a long sip of her wine, she muttered, Well, long live the Queen of Wakanda. 2. In which Zari meets a hacking legend. Zari was starstruck. In the future, Daisy Johnson was considered a rock star in the hacker world. Actually, she was considered the hacker of all hackers. Not only was she able to break into high-facility agencies like Argus and S.H.I.E.L.D., but then she became a superhero. In a way, if Zari thought about it, she was a lot like Daisy. She was someone with no family who thought she was nothing, but then she found a family of her own and wielded a totem, becoming a hero in her own right. She looked up to Daisy a lot for this, so the fact she was standing here in the flesh was the coolest thing she encountered since joining the Legends. Wow, you're even prettier in person, Zari murmured before becoming embarrassed by her statement. An awkward smile formed on Daisy's lips.
Thank you, she said.
All right, Phil Coulson, Daisy's superior, muttered. Save the flirting for later. We have a Hydra facility to infiltrate.
Sure, Hot Lips, Daisy retorted, which was rewarded with a blush by Coulson. Her expression became a triumphant smile before Agent Melinda May glared at her. Right, to work. Zari smiled as the agents in front of her began discussing their plan of action. There would be time for gushing later. They had work to do. 3. In which the fighter of demons meets the devil.
Why are we here again? Constantine said as he followed Mick through the nightclub. Because one of my old criminal buddies says the owner knows a thing or two about hell.
Mick, who looked like he was having as much of a headache as his companion, replied,
Well, whoever we're supposed to meet deserves a bloody whack, Constantine growled. This place blows.
Now that's not a nice thing to say about the King of Hell, a voice said behind him.
In unison, the two men turned around to face the owner of the voice. It was a well-dressed man sitting on a red couch. He was quite handsome, flashing a grin with blinding white teeth,
And Constantine did admit, if he weren't on a job, he would definitely be the Demon Hunter's one-night stand.
"You Lucifer Morningstar?"
Mick asked.
"Yes, I am the devil himself," Lucifer replied.
"Wait, King of Hell? The devil himself? This Lucifer guy wasn't claiming to be the actual devil, was he?"
"Bullshit," Constantine growled. "I fight demons, mate. I'm pretty sure if you were the one who ruled them, we would know."
"Oh, you need proof?" Lucifer asked, raising an eyebrow.
"Fine."
He paused and looked directly into Mick's eyes.
"You, Baldy, what is it you most desire?"
Did not hesitate to answer.
"I want my cheesy sci-fi novel to become so big it eats Twilight and Star Wars for breakfast. And a puppy. A nice, cute, fluffy lapdog kind of puppy."
Constantine couldn't help but fumble into his pockets for a cigarette.
"Bloody hell,"
he muttered.
"He really is a devil."
4. In which Rey encounters a Star Wars movie.
Rey had to pinch himself a few times. He'd had this moment in dreams. There was blaster fire, futuristic hallways, a few lightsabers here and there, and there was Rey standing behind General Leia Organa herself, helping her rescue some nameless high-profile political prisoner of the First Order. Damn, this was better than that one time he met Mark Hamill at a Star Wars convention.
"You know, this is a huge honor," Rey said, as Leia took down a couple of stormtroopers. "You are like the OG of strong sci-fi ladies. I was hysterical when..."
"Oh, would you shut up and help me take down some bucketheads?" Leia growled.
Rey clumsily went to reach for his gun when a flash of light whizzed by them, taking a few stormtroopers with it. When it came to a complete stop, Wally stood in the center of the hallway.
"Thanks, Wally,"
Rey said.
"No problem,"
Wally responded as he pointed to the cell door on his right. "Our political prisoner should be in here." Rey followed Leia to the cell door. After watching the princess gone general break down the panel with her blaster, Rey was greeted with a sight that left him weak in the knees.
"Han!" Leia gasped in shock.
"Surprise!" Han Solo, who was strapped to an interrogation chair, chimed with a cheeky grin on his face. "Our little Dark Lord son failed to kill me."
"It's..." Rey began.
He never finished his sentence. He just fainted into Wally's arms. 5. In which they meet their match. The Legends found themselves in the most awkward standoff ever. There were 13 people in a crowded hallway, dressed in 1920s garb, standing in two groups. Each held a hostage, and all they were doing was screaming at each other.
"All right!" Leonard roared, holding a trembling and bound hostage with his cold gun to his head. "You let go of Dr. Palmer, and we won't turn your friend here into an icicle."
"Well, you tell us whether you work for Rittenhouse, and we won't slice your pretty friend to bits."
A heavily accented, dark-haired man sneered back. He was holding Rey close, with a knife to his throat.
"We are not slicing anyone up, Flynn," yelled a dark-haired woman. "Especially if they are Rittenhouse. They have Rufus, and I'm pretty sure if we don't bring him home in one piece, Connor Mason is going to kill us."
"I'll join him," a younger female added, putting her hands on her hips.
"How many times have we told you pigs?"
Mick growled.
"We are not this Rittenhouse bullshit."
"I have a question," a voice called out. Everyone turned to Nate, who simply had his hand raised. "What's a Rittenhouse?" The two groups erupted into screaming again, none of them making any sort of sense. Sarah, at this point, held her head in her hands, shaking her head. The intangible yelling lasted for about 2 minutes until the Legend's hostage, now known to be named Rufus, let out a whistle.
"Hey!" he yelled.
Can we please figure this out civilly? I am in no mood to die again, and I still haven't seen Jake and Amy's wedding yet, and I will be really angry if I die again without seeing it.
Wait, Jake and Amy? Wally inquired, raising an eyebrow. From Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Rufus nodded.
Hey, I think these people are the good guys. They're from our time.
I agree, Sarah added. She nodded over to Leonard, who lowered his gun and went to untie Rufus.
Flynn snarled and gripped onto Ray tighter.
This is a trick, Lucy, Flynn growled.
No, I think they're just another group of people who are time travelers, the older dark-haired woman, revealed to be Lucy, said.
Let the man go,
Flynn frowned.
Now, Flynn!
The heavily accented man grumbled and dropped Ray to the ground.
Wyatt, Lucy continued, go check on him.
Wyatt went over and began to untie Ray. With the room calm and everyone realizing that they aren't the enemy, Sarah nodded.
So, I'm guessing you're here to stop whoever is trying to sabotage Walt Disney's creation of Mickey Mouse? She asked.
That's exactly what we're here for, Lucy said.
How about a team-up?
The mission between the people on the so-named Lifeboat and the Legends turned out to be a complete success. Not only did they manage to stop Rittenhouse from assassinating Walt Disney, but they managed to take out one of their most lethal assassins. Figuring they had a lot in common, they decided to celebrate in a empty speakeasy Mick, of course, managed to find. It seemed to be going well.
Mostly, it was Ray bragging about his mission to save Han Solo, with Rufus fanboying over the fact.
Amaya and Nate seemed to be exchanging war stories with Wyatt, and, in a rather dangerous pairing, Constantine, Mick, and Leonard hit it off a little too well with Flynn.
I think we should work together more often, Sarah, who stood on the side having drinks with Lucy, said.
We seem to work really well together, and we could use a pretty face like yours around.
Thank you, Lucy responded with a blush.
But on a professional manner, she cleared her throat.
I can definitely talk to Agent Christopher and Mr. Mason. I'm sure they'll be happy to have others in the fight against Rittenhouse.
Sarah was about to answer when she saw a fireball erupt in the corner of her eye. She looked over to see Flynn maniacally laughing as he fired Mick's heat gun.
I like this thing, Flynn exclaimed.
Sarah groaned and turned her head to Lucy.
Do me a favor, she said. If you guys do work with us, make sure you keep your maniac friend away from the weapons.
Raising her glass to take a long sip, Lucy nodded before saying,
Will do.
The end.